My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan, which means unless I'm down to watch things like the 51st National Stone Skipping Competition or the World Sign Spinning Championship, ESPN is of no use right now. So I'm jonesing for my athletic fix. As a result, I've decided to talk to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. Oh, and thanks to you listeners, we're now a top new and noteworthy show on Apple Podcasts, and that's all because of you. So please continue to rate and review and subscribe and tell your friends and constantly refresh your phone until your fingers are bleeding and we release new episodes. It all helps. Anyway, this is the No Sports Report. Levi Wallace's struggle to play football makes Rudy Rudiger look like he had it easy. A walk-on in college who didn't see the field till junior year when he fought his way into a scholarship and an important senior year role on the epic 2018 Alabama team that took home the national championship in overtime. But then after graduation, he went undrafted. Not ready to give up yet, he found his way onto the Buffalo Bills practice squad. And that's usually where these stories end. Maybe one training camp and then guys become high school coaches or electricians. But Wallace has a rare drive to succeed, one that's almost supernatural. Not only does he end up on the Bills' main roster somehow, he becomes a starter. And now he's an integral part of their defense, signing a contract extension to stay in Buffalo as a standout cornerback at the beginning of April. He once again defied the odds, but that's nothing new to him. What is new? Being isolated all alone, by himself during quarantine. We talk about my favorite sandwich spot, how Americans can find motivation during times of hardship, and why he gave out his phone number on the internet. All of this with Levi Wallace, and later on, in another installment of Fandemic, we'll hear from CJ Toledano of Bleacher Report's House of Highlights and the co-host of iHeartRadio sports podcast, The Greatest. This is the No Sports Report.
Call from
Levi Wallace.
To accept, press 1. Press.
Hello, Levi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, man. I have decided that you're the only Levi I want in my life right now. I don't want to wear jeans. I'm in sweatpants only. I'm trying to figure out, what are you wearing during quarantine? Like, what is your go-to outfit right now?
I'm wearing sweats, man.
Yeah.
Sweats only.
Yeah, you have to. It's a terrible... I mean, if someone in my life was wearing denim at this point, I would cut them out completely. I would never speak to them again.
Oh, for sure. For sure not. I think I wore pants for Easter, but that's about it.
That's it. And they don't even see you from the waist below on Zoom. So I'm not even sure I wore pants to our Easter.
I got you.
Where are you currently quarantining? What city are you in?
I'm in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. Okay. And who are you with?
Just by myself, you know?
And how has that been? You're weirdly the first athlete I've spoken to on the podcast who is by themselves in quarantine.
I mean, it's fine. It's not bothering me. I talk to maybe like 20 different people a day on FaceTime or Zoom. But, you know, I like it. I can stay focused. I have my garage with my gym.
I was hoping that you were in Tucson, which is where you went to high school, at least where you're from.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you to mail me a sandwich from Bison Witches.
You know what? I've never been there.
No. It's right next to your high school. It's like just a block away.
I know. And all my friends, they used to eat it back in the day. I'm not a big sandwich guy to begin with. If I'm craving a sandwich, I'll just go to Subway.
Well, number one, that's not fair to me. But if Subway wants to sponsor the podcast, I'm totally fine with it. But I will say, Bison Witches, I went to University of Arizona for a year in Tucson, and I may have stayed there more than 2 months only because of Bison Witches. It's my favorite sandwich in the United States.
Oh, wow. That's saying something. I might need to go and check it out then.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go back to see your family or whatever, you got to go there. What have you been doing in quarantine to pass time?
Not much. My day is kind of routine now. I wake up, cook breakfast, work out, shower, read the Bible, start reading this book by Rick Warren called A Purpose Driven Life. Like, read a chapter of that. And after that, either movies, video games, not too much.
Yeah, between the book and the Bible, it does sound like you're taking this time to do some self-reflection, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to waste this time now that I do have it. I'm not just at the training room or out and about driving around going to the malls. Now that we're mandatory to stay home, you know, I don't want to waste this time by just sitting here on the couch and getting lazy and not making it the best.
You know, the weirdest thing for me, and I didn't think I'd miss anything. I'm pretty much a homebody, and my wife especially loves to stay home. So, and we have a 9-month-old, so it works out perfectly. But I miss the mall.
You know what? Me and you both, man. I miss the mall as well. And I never buy a thing at the mall. I just miss walking in the mall and having the option and seeing all the people around. I like the people watch, so.
I know, me too. And food courts, the whole thing. I miss it all. But I have caught you streaming a little bit of video games. I know Fortnite is one of your favorites. What else have you been playing?
That's about it. Fortnite. Now that I have this time, I watch all the Star Wars movies. And right now I'm kind of high on Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So I bought a game and I just beat the game not long ago. That was pretty fun.
You are 24 years old, so I'm not sure that this might be your first run at the original Star Wars movies. What are you up to? Like, what have you seen?
I've seen them all. I watched every single one.
And that was the first time you'd seen them?
Ever.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, my brother, he was trying to make me go watch the newest one that just came out. And, you know, me, I'm like, nah, I got to see the first one. I won't even know what's going on. So I decided to watch them all. And then I just saw the most recent one. And I was like, you know what? Star Wars is pretty good.
It is pretty good. That's a decent review from you. I will say, now that you've seen them all, what's your favorite one?
They're all different. I think because I am 24, it has a lot to do with the graphics.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go with like the last one that just came out. Mm-hmm. This last trilogy was pretty good. And then maybe the ones before that, like 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, like the prequels.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's a hot take, Levi.
I mean, but like I said, I'm more of a graphics type person. You know, the older ones are just kind of too old. I mean, I love the story of them. It was just a little too old for me, so.
Yeah, that is a hot take to like the prequels. But if you look at the originals, it is true. Yoda has like a stick in his back. I agree. It's all kind of very janky, but I guess that was good when we were kids.
Right, right. Yeah, no, you can definitely see the difference in the Yodas for sure.
Yes, you have a CGI Yoda. We had one made of a sock.
For sure.
So congratulations on signing a brand new one-year deal with the Bills. That must have been a great feeling just a few weeks ago. Was making that happen with the team and your agent and getting all the pieces together, was it any harder because of the pandemic?
No, not even a little bit. I don't think it's really affected me or what I had going on this offseason. We came to an agreement and got it done.
That works out. So the season is currently set to open in September, with tons of questions circulating about if it'll be empty arenas or if you're playing at all. What's your feeling on a season actually happening in 2020? Do you see football without fans? Do you see football at all?
I honestly don't know. It just depends on how this all shakes out with the vaccine or, you know, however long we're going to be in this quarantine. I know for me personally, I would not like to play without fans. You know, I think especially in Buffalo, where we have the best fans, we use that to our advantage for sure. Mm-hmm. And it'd just be a whole different feel to not be able to play in front of the people that support us the most, you know, that are the most loyal fans in the country. And yeah, I'm not sure if we have a season or not. You know, I think it's bigger than football right now as far as keeping everyone healthy and safe.
Yeah, it's so hard for me to grasp what sports is going to look like. And that's part of the reason we started the podcast. But like you said, it's hard to imagine football or any sport without anyone in the stands.
Right.
You were saying about the garage that you have a gym set up there. So are you continuing to condition and train to stay in shape?
Yeah. I mean, I would hate to go, you know, next month they say, all right, we're going back and I'm out of shape. You know, I don't think I've gained too much weight because I have a fast metabolism, but just being out of shape or not as strong as I know I could be. And I had surgery back in January, so I've been rehabbing that as well, trying to get that back strong.
Do you need to go see a physical therapist? Or are you able to do it all on your own? Because I know I have friends who need physical therapy, and those offices seem to be closed.
Yeah, I think now I've gotten to the point just trying to strengthen it. So I FaceTime my trainers, and they watch me do the exercises. Then we go from there. I don't really need someone just staring at me, you know. Being a professional means being able to take care of what you got to take care of. So it doesn't really affect me.
You had a great end of 2019, quite a nice streak, which was helpful when negotiating your deal, I'm sure. Does it feel weird at all to sort of have that momentum slowed up, or do you think it won't be a problem? I mean, you've been playing almost your whole life. So I wonder, will this mess things up timing-wise in your head?
Not for me. You just got to treat it just like it's regular OTAs. You know, we still start meetings on Zoom, and then you're still conditioning. I think the only thing that's kind of affected is a little bit of the team chemistry that's built during the OTAs. Mm-hmm. But I think you can make up for that during camp.
Great.
And I think we'll have a camp before we even get to the season.
There aren't many players in the NFL that have faced what you have and what you've overcome. You walked onto the prestigious Alabama football team and fought your way to a walk-on scholarship junior year to end up playing in the national championship team. Then you went undrafted, worked your way from the practice Bills squad to a starting job and now another contract. It's truly inspiring. When you see what we're facing as a nation right now, and you've been through your own personal fights to not give up on your passion, what do you see as ways to keep us going?
I know for me, I'm big in my faith, and I have been for years now. And I think that's what just kept pushing me to make all these strides that I have. So I think that's what keeps my head on, keeps me going, knowing that this is all going to pass eventually. Walking on, it passed. You know, the story of me being an underdog, it's going to pass eventually. And then I'll get the respect that I deserve eventually, just like everyone else in this pandemic, that it's going to pass, you know, and we have to keep going. And until then, what I do, I stay in my Bible. I pray every day, especially for others. Made a list not too long ago with the people that I talked to over the phone and pray for them. You know, those are some of the hardest stories that I've heard. But I know they're going through a lot worse than I am. So I think that's the only thing that we can do to keep our spirits up. Just enjoy the time with your family that you have.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, you did do something extremely unique and thoughtful. You posted your actual phone number on Instagram and you asked people to call you if they were looking for support or just had some football questions or felt lonely. What made you do that?
I saw Mike Todd do it, pastor of Transformation Church, who I follow. And it just inspired me. So I said, I have a platform too, so let me just check up in on Bills Mafia and see how everyone's doing, because that's who mostly follows me, as well as Alabama fans. So I just wanted to check in on people and see if I could help in any way, if I could pray for them, just let them know that they're not alone in this, that I'm literally alone sitting in my house, you know, by myself. So if I can try to give them a little bit of hope, you know, I hope I did.
Yeah, you got 500 calls in the first 7.5 hours. What were some of those calls like?
Half of them were just asking about the season and things like that. And I tried to tell people that I didn't want to answer football questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to really genuinely check on them and how they were doing. But, you know, football is just a great distraction. Sports are as well. You can see it as there's no sports being played. So I think people just miss talking about sports. So I had conversations with people about the season and my play and what I thought about this upcoming season, which was nice. But my main focus was just to pray for people and to check on their well-being. I heard stories from people that did have the coronavirus that were laid up in the hospital, to people who just lost their grandparents or their mom and dads. It was hard to hear stories like that. I talked to people from all over, overseas, Hawaii, Michigan, Missouri, Florida, everywhere, even in Canada.
Do you plan on keeping the line open? Like, did you get calls today?
No. That was actually, I had got another number. That wasn't my actual number. I had a second number.
Oh, the burner number.
Yeah. Well, listen, if I have a bad game, I want everyone just blowing up my phone. So
I love it. Listen, I'll pray that they don't call you on bad days, just on good games.
Well, it's all right. I got through all the numbers, and it was easily over 1,000.
Oh.
It took me a good 4 days, and I was literally the most tired I've been since last year's training camp.
I assume that makes up for some of the workouts and two-a-days you aren't doing yet.
Right.
Have you been able to keep in touch with your teammates?
Yeah, we touch every day. Not all the teammates, but I try to reach out to a different teammate every single day just to check on them and make sure that their family's good. You know, a lot of people have family and kids in this organization. So even the coaches, I reached out to them and just asked how they were doing. But yeah, I think everyone's excited just to start talking about football again.
So we usually try to wrap up with something positive, and then I'll be stupid and give you some suggestions of things I think you should do in quarantine. But first, is there anything that you think that's been going on during this quarantine, during the pandemic, that you think we could maybe continue to do once we're out of it? Something that we picked up as a new habit or a new process that you think is good moving forward? We should stick with this one.
I'm not too sure about that one, honestly.
I'll give you mine. We talked about it a little up top.
Yeah, let me hear yours.
I'm wearing sweatpants. You'll see me out in public no matter where I am. I'll be at a business meeting, and I'll be straight up wearing sweats.
Hey, I mean, But I mean, that's not a bad one at all.
No.
I think for me personally, I just use this time to get into the Word and to grow closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are looking for something, for a substance to help them do this. And I think that searching deeply and realizing that it's right there in the Bible, you know?
Sure. Well, let's go from something powerful to something very dumb. These are suggestions that I have for you in quarantine. Here are three things that I think will help. You're the only athlete I've spoken to so far who is alone, so I really appreciate that. So first, I know you're big into Fortnite. You've been playing a lot. I have an alternative that's a game similar to Fortnite.
What's it called?
Okay, it is called Cuisine Royale. It's available on Steam, Xbox, or PlayStation 4, just like the Fortnite Battle Royale games. It's free to play, okay? This is not a sponsor. It's just a very cool thing that I play every once in a while. It started as like an April Fool's joke. It's a lot like Fortnite. It's pretty standard as far as Battle Royale games go. But the big difference is that all the armor that you use in the game is stuff you find, and it's kitchenware. So like pots and pans and woks and cutlery and waffle makers. And as you find them, you sort of wrap them around and strap them onto your body like a grill pan against your butt to protect it from shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part about that is you can't really sneak up on people because it clinks and clanks when you sort of run.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sort of understand that that's part of the game. It's very fluid, great online play. It's graphics are way more impressive than Fortnite or any of the other things. But yes, you do have to keep in mind that the pots and pans make noise when you're running up.
All right. Cuisine
Royale.
Cuisine Royale.
Hmm. All right. I didn't get the enthusiasm okay. I wanted, but at least you wrote it down. My second one.
No. I'm actually looking it up.
Okay, good. All right, it's free. It's you know, it's like those games that everyone loves, the PUBG and whatever. But I'm telling you, Cuisine Royale is the one that got me.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
I'll give it a try.
All right, I'm giving myself a strong C- on that one. Here comes a B in my opinion, or maybe even an A. I think for television on Netflix, the show Cheer is for you. Do you know about Cheer?
I heard about it, and I don't think that show is for me.
I'm telling you, I didn't think so either. I thought, oh, I'm not going to be into this. This is stupid. And I started hearing from people. It's a show about the Navarro, it said both ways. It's a college nationally ranked for competitive cheerleading as they get ready for the championships in Florida. Great character development. And you'd be shocked how much athleticism and like focus these people need to do dances that I thought were kind of trivial, but they're definitely not. And it's super emotional, very fun.
Cheer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I need to finish Tiger King first.
Definitely a different vibe.
And then they said I need to watch Ozark.
Yep, both different vibes and Cheer. But if you want to be raised back up, it's very spiritual, very positive. From both of those very dark places of Tiger King and Ozark, I have the more uplifting version for Netflix.
All right, Cheer.
Okay.
You know what? I'll give it one episode, and then I'll let you know how I feel about it.
Perfect. I'm definitely riding on mediocrity here. My third one is very easy. This is so simple. You have friends in Tucson still. You need your first Bison Witches sandwich while in quarantine.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that.
Okay. I have an idea. All right. Dry ice in a cooler, and they just put a couple sandwiches inside the cooler, and then they mail it to you. It can't be that long to Buffalo, probably 2 days.
All right, and you know what? I'm gonna try it out. You know what? Have you been to EG's?
No, where's that?
In Tucson.
No, where? Near the university?
Man, there's EG's. EG's is only in Tucson. They have EG's everywhere.
Well, maybe I have to have something sent in a cooler now.
Yeah, no, you have to try EG's. It's literally what Tucson is famous for.
Oh, I thought it was famous for the few months I went there. Levi, thank you so much for talking to me, and I want you to stay safe and healthy, and I'm very impressed by how you're able to go through quarantine by yourself. It's very cool, and I guarantee you're coming out of this thing it sounds like even a stronger dude.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
No worries, man. Stay safe. After this, in another installment of Fandemic, we'll check in with comedian and host of iHeart's The Greatest Podcast, CJ Toledano. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. Now my chat with CJ Toledano, co-host of iHeartRadio's podcast, The Greatest, and the only person I'll allow to say Reggie Miller's name on our show. It's the latest installment of Fandemic.
Hello?
Hello, CJ, it's Jensen.
Hey, Jensen, how you doing, man?
I'm doing as well as I can. I'm calling a bunch of the funny people I know in sports for the podcast and trying to figure out, first, how they're surviving without sports in general. How are you doing? Your job revolves around basketball mostly. How are you surviving this?
You know, like everyone else, we're just scrolling Twitter endlessly looking for any sort of story that will distract us. Mm-hmm. But then luckily, you know, I think a few big athletes and some other people, they petitioned for this Jordan doc to come out, and it has created the most bizarre reality where the biggest story in sports right now are the 90s Bulls. And so I've a lot of my friends, I mean, I work in sports, but still, like, I was still like an outcast, especially with like young social media people. I used to get made fun of by my coworkers for having seen Jordan live. Mm-hmm. And now everyone is asking me about my Jordan stories. I don't know the guy. I was just a fan growing up of him. And everyone's like, give me your Jordan insight. And I'm like, it's been on YouTube for decades. Like, go find it. And so, you know, this Jordan doc has just been such a talking point. And it's just crazy to me that my wife hated Jordan. And because, you know, her being a big sports fan, because it's the only sort of newish thing that we have to look forward to every week, she's now like in love with the Bulls, which is bizarre again.
I guess, too, like with House of Highlights, which is where you work and Bleacher Report and such. So would you have ever predicted that Scottie Pippen would come off as such sort of a good dude? I didn't see that one coming.
No, not at all. I mean, and that's why people are like, no, you're going to love the doc. I had a few friends at ESPN. I was like, is there anything new in it? And they're like, you know, maybe not for you, but like, there's some definitely interesting light put on, you know, specific people. And I did not see episode 2 where Scottie was just, you know, we all like Scottie was the number one thing we were talking about on Sunday, of like sixth highest player on the Bulls at the time. You know, as kids, we're like, he's the second best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, even though that was not true, but it's just like,
felt like it.
I think 122nd, you know, highest player, paid player in the NBA. And you're like, wow, things just didn't, like, you know, we were all so naive or just didn't care about that stuff, but truly injustice that, you know, he was getting paid that much and that Jordan treated him that way.
I know. And I remember, it's so funny. I remember middle school, there was a Sports Illustrated that came out and it was talking about salaries. And I do remember seeing a salary from the Cavs on Hot Rod Williams. Do you remember Hot Rod?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He had some ridiculous, he was like the second highest player in the NBA at one point. I think the 80s and 90s just had some strange contracts going around.
Yeah, and I would love to see what happens with some of these agents in the conversations and like the reasons why. But I think, you know, and I think we're finding out a lot about these guys, you know, their demeanor and their personas. Is like, I just think Scottie didn't know. Like, he didn't know how good he was yet and how important he was for that team's chemistry, that he didn't really value himself. But I love, did you see his wife then tweeted out, like, he's doing fine, and then his salary for the rest of his NBA career?
No, I mean, I know she's quite outspoken for how quiet Scottie is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was standing up for him. And that, obviously that relationship was always like making, you know, the tabloids. So I was like, wow, this is like truly waking up the weirdest sports timeline I've ever been, you know, witness to.
Another question about Pippen. So,
yeah,
you know, we watched Oklahoma City. We watched like the Thunder kind of dissipate in a sense. We had three great players, kind of worked for, and then Harden leaves. And then would that have happened to Scottie in 20, you know, in the aughts, like, or 2015, 16, would he have left and went to another team if it wasn't the 80s and 90s?
I really think yes. I mean, with the money or just, you know, the way, and, you know, I go back and forth on how these guys hang out with each other. Cause like that story about Ainge going golfing with Jordan in 86 before that playoff game, like,
yeah.
The conversations that some of these guys had, I think after seeing LeBron go to Miami, I think that just opened up the floodgates for all these guys going, you know, there's nothing off limits. You know, we can play here. Like KD going to the Warriors. I totally think
Pippen could have got swayed to go somewhere else and be like, hey, you're our number one guy, and who else do you want? Yeah. And we can build around that, you know, if this happened today.
It's so funny, too, because we're coming off this tragic, obviously, Kobe Bryant death, and Jordan was such an enigma at that funeral. I was baffled to see, one, you know, he was so active with helping Vanessa off the stage and sort of, and then to see how emotional and how close he was with Kobe Bryant. No one knew at all their relationship. I mean, he is just, he's sort of just wrapped in layers. And obviously this documentary is showing more of that.
Well, so one thing I get called out for, and I totally will admit it, is like being sort of a front runner. Like, I love LeBron and the Lakers. Like, I tell everyone, I'm like, I just love players. You know, I grew up loving 90s Bulls and Jordan, obviously. And when Jordan retired that first time, I found a hard time following the NBA. Like, I could not watch the 99-2000 Bulls. They were just so bad. Mm-hmm. And so then I started watching back, you know, other players and like, noticing or just, like, looking back on careers of, like, Reggie and the Jazz and some of these other guys. And I forgot, you know, and I was like, oh, man, I really robbed myself as a basketball fan of loving other players. And then, yeah, with this Kobe stuff, his speech for, you know, after the 15th time I had cried after Kobe's death of all the things happening, I was like, I'm done. And then when Jordan spoke, I was like, wow, like an event to make Jordan, you know, look like a human. Yeah. This documentary is furthering that even more. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like, you can't learn more. I didn't think I would know or learn any more about this team and some of these players. So, some crazy.
And the odd reveal of a sense of humor that with the meme joke. I mean, I was like, talk about a guy who hasn't had a sense of humor about himself ever. NBA players always age a little weird, let's be honest here.
Right.
But this one has been quite a year for him to, who would have thought out of all of this, we get more Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's helping me out. People want to talk to me more. I don't look like a freak in conversations, but just to acknowledge that meme midway through just the circumstances around, it was just like, wow.
It's incredible.
It was a wild moment.
So House of Highlights has so much to do with humor, and you're the head writer there and do a lot of their funny things. What, you said you've been scrolling basketball Twitter of the players. What's the funniest stuff that's been coming out of this time off for B-ball dudes?
I mean, honestly, it's what are players doing in their quarantine, I think. You know, it's funny seeing LeBron struggle a little bit. Again, it's like, you know, these are giants, these are gods that we look up to, but then they're like, yeah, without their barber, they feel, you know, they're having the same sort of their wives cutting their own hair. And they, again, these guys are looking more like people. It's like, stars are just like us. We're seeing a lot of that. And that's the thing I don't think we're prepared for. I think in the first few days, as House of Highlights, for anyone who's not familiar, like, we curate a lot of the kind of the funny, like the unusual or the fun, like trick shots or whatever. We thought, oh no, we're going to run out of content. But players, just their lives are so entertaining. And again, it's that resonation of like, players are dealing with it the same way we are.
Yeah.
Everyone's trapped in their house. Like, none of these guys have a home gym. So everyone's ordering off the same Target.com. trying to get equipment and people are just like doing squats with rice bags.
Yeah, it is. It's the Oregon Trail of gyms right now.
Yeah.
I also want to ask about Horse.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Were you invested?
Yes. My wife and I watched it because we're just like, you know, I don't know if you remember when Horse was an all-star event in the, I think, mid-2000s, and Kevin Durant won. And even they knew how silly it was because the trophy was a diorama of a horse toy. And I was just like, man, we're really in the thick of this. If this is what we're doing, we're sending, you know, we're having Zoom calls of Horse and airing it on ESPN Maine. Mm-hmm. And you know, we watched it. It wasn't great. It was nice to see the players doing well and talk about the current situation. But also it highlighted the disparity between NBA and WNBA salaries, like to show Mike Conley's high school gym, which was his house. And Tamika Catchings just playing in her driveway and her son is in the background freezing. And she's like, you know, and it's a house that my parents like live in. And they're like, these are pro players. Like we got to use this as an exhibit for getting WNBA players paid more.
I know. I talked to Ian Carmel about that as well. I had brought it up when we spoke. I felt like some of the WNBA players were on like a flip phone. And I was like, we have to normalize their salaries. Best TikTok in NBA. We obviously put Jordan Clarkson up top. We put LeBron up top. Am I missing anyone?
Matisse Thybulle, the young guy on the Sixers. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's some of these guys who just have, like, fascinating lives and just, like, silly friends around them. So, like, obviously their social media is going to be fun. But I think this young kid, Matisse, on the Sixers, he kind of knows, like, sketch comedy or, like, beats. And I think TikTok is kind of teaching some of these kids that. Like, they're like, all right, you get this joke off in this one shot, and then we move on to the next. Like, you cut there. So, like, he has a little bit of that, and I've been really enjoying his stuff.
I got to follow him. If we do not go back to playoff basketball, which at this point I just don't see it, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do the Lakers deserve to win this? I know there's some weird bylaw that gives them the championship. Does it mean anything?
I they're my number one team. I don't think they deserve to just be handed it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, yeah, I think it's a little bit more equal. Like, you know, they beat the Clippers and the Bucks, but the Bucks had the best record. It's just there's so many factors involved, and to just give the championship to somebody, if the season was to end now, it just doesn't seem fair. I would just rather it be an asterisk, and, you know, next season, whenever it comes back, they, you know, everyone just starts at zero again. But yeah, hearing Adam Silver say that they know nothing. There's been no new information. They don't know what to do. But I'm also, you know, when people go, you know, the cases are falling, or like the hospitals are better equipped now, like we should just have the NBA on an island. And it's just like, you got to realize, I think we all started taking this pandemic, or, you know, this whole thing a lot more seriously when the NBA shut down, because they have such a big platform. And those are people we actually listen to. I listen to the NBA. I listen to Adam Silver more than I do the president. So
same. Yeah.
For them to shut down, you're like, oh, this is for real. And so the same thing is, if they go back, you know, and they can go back under such strict testing through containment of like hotels and gyms, but people will take that sort of vibe, that mood as, oh, yeah, this is over. Let's go out in the streets and celebrate. And so I think Silver and these guys know exactly that.
And you've seen that with the NBA, because they have set the tone and mood for so many things politically, from Donald Sterling and Black Lives Matter and all these different things. I do think the NBA, and I've talked about it before on this podcast, sets a serious tone for our nation. Pop culturally, it is the most relevant sport, and has been for the past few years. And I think, you know, we talked to Jay Williams on the podcast about that weird cruise idea that he sort of backed off now. But I just think it should just be, oh, everyone's ready to go back out and work. Great. The NBA's back. I think that would do a really good service for our country.
Yeah.
You brought up your wife. You are newly married. How has being quarantined with Megan, who's hilarious? I wrote with her at the ESPYs 1 year. What has it been like being with a new wife with her 24 hours, can't get out of the house?
I think it really solidified and confirmed our decision to get married. Mm-hmm. I know people probably want to hear that it's been horrible, but, you know, it's great. It's so funny to me because, you know, we have a podcast together.
Yes.
And people are like, are you guys scared to be working on something together? Because, like, her manager and, like, people I look up to, like, yeah, don't rush into working together. I'm like, of course. We were friends for 8 years. We dated for 3 before we got married. Like, when something comes naturally, it'll happen. And then we did this podcast, and it was like, yeah, I could see what they're saying, but, you know, we figured it out, you know? And then we got married, and now we've been in quarantine for more than a third of our marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's learning on the fly. It's zooming out and looking at the bigger picture of everything. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe we don't hate each other. Maybe we just need to be in a separate room for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Maybe I am picking too many of the movies every night. It's really confirming the decision that, you know, I'm glad I married her, and I'm married to someone who loves sports, and
yes,
I can talk to her about that stuff.
Well, she rules. Question also, any new hobbies between you two? Anything you've taken up that is new to you?
Hobbies. Let's see. I mean, I mentioned her watching more of the movies that I pick, which, again, I'm trying to be mindful. So I've been showing her like a lot of 80s and 90s action movies, and she's been like really into them. We watched Sudden Death, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Classic.
Such a classic. We watched Long Kiss Goodnight. We watched, we have Over the Top on deck soon.
Oh my God, arm wrestling.
Yeah, so she's been doing that. And we've just been, you know, like everyone else, we've been cooking a lot. Mm. Like some of the best meals I've ever had. Like, swear to God, like I'm like, I hope this does not go away.
you guys went to a drive-thru movie.
Yes, we went to the drive-in the other night.
Oh my God, I just called it a drive-thru. That's how unattached I am. I forgot they even exist before this, but I saw you posted it on social media, and I was like, oh, that's right, drive-ins exist.
Yeah, and it's been open for years. It's not like just like a pop-up thing. And we went, and it was such a seamless experience. They had the system down. You know, it was awesome. We saw Raiders of the Lost Ark,
yeah.
And it was just like, I felt guilty. I was like, why did we turn our backs on these things? Like, mm-hmm. these are going to come back so hard now.
Good.
And it's like just such, and maybe, you know, I'm speaking as, you know, we live in California and we have such the luxury of, you know, there's other cities just like, you know, it's snowing, you can't go outside. But like, if your town can do this, it's awesome. Like, you can talk in the car, you can be on your phone, you can lay down, recline. It's just, it's such a great experience.
I love that. That's so great. So you kind of mentioned it a little bit, the podcast you have with Megan, your wife. Tell us a little about it.
Yeah, so iHeart had this premise, you know, the big thing in sports is debating the greatest of all time, the GOATs. Mm-hmm. I think sports media in the last 2 years really figured out, like, people just love to debate. Give them a platform for that. And so they were looking for a couple hosts, and someone recommended Megan and I separately. And then they're like, oh, man, they're a couple. Let's get them. And I don't think what iHeart realized they were getting was this newlywed dynamic of, you know, sort of the husband and wife bickering. And, you know, she grew up a Pacers fan. I grew up a Bulls fan. And so, yeah, there's a lot of disagreeing, but then also we invite our friends on and we just debate who we think the GOATs are of certain sports categories. We do like greatest comeback, greatest athlete cameos in the TV and film and stuff like that. And so just this past week, we got Reggie Miller on, which was, you know, he is just like, he was such an instrumental guy in Megan and I's relationship in a weird way. I proposed to Megan in front of a Reggie Miller mural in Indianapolis a year and a half ago. So yeah, it's just, again, like, people are warning us of working together. And I know you and your wife work together.
We do, yeah.
And I think anyone who had warned us had their own experience because it's been really great. You know, I tell Megan, I'm like, even though she gets more than 10% on a lot of the projects I do, it should be on paper.
Right.
I feel bad saying this. This is essentially putting it on paper by saying it on this podcast. But like, right. Megan helped my career and I owe a lot to her. And, you know, I shower her with gifts because of that.
Yeah. Well, she deserves it. My wife and I have been working together even on things that haven't been yet announced. And I think the way we've been able to kind of get through it is you just know what roles you have. I mean, as soon as you start stepping on each other's roles, I think then you're just like, you start to resent. But if you know what you're supposed to do, this is what I bring to the table, this is what he or she brings to the table, I think everything's workable.
Totally. Because it's like, if there's like a lag in the podcast with the interview, she'll be like, this is my time to step in and really keep this going. So yes, those roles.
The true star, Megan. Listen, CJ, thank you for talking to me. Please send my love to the wife and stay safe. And I'm excited for you to get back the highlights in HOH soon.
Thanks so much, Jensen. Good talking to you.
Take care.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, and me, Jensen Karp. Our series producer is Matthew Kugler. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Our theme music is composed by Spielkus. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on Apple Podcasts. You have nothing else to do. Send it to your friends, tweet, share, post about it, do whatever you can. And please visit feedingamerica.org. And if you're able to make a donation, any amount will help make a difference. And you can learn more about other ways to help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for our show transcripts for the hearing impaired listeners, please go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well.